Welcome to Our House with one of Australia's leading auctioneers, Rod Amos, and buyer's agent, Matt Sharp. And now for your dose of information and observation about real estate across the nation. Let's go live to your host, the voice of the National Rugby League, Steve Allen.
This is the dining room table, and after a couple of weeks away, we're back, and alongside me, Matt Sharp from Sharp Property Buyers. Sharpie, good morning, mate. Welcome back.
Thanks, mate. It's great to be back, and it feels like we haven't been here for a while, but I know it was difficult for us both to catch up with Origin and my trip to Townsville and whatnot, so excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, and you went to Townsville, which is a city that I absolutely love. It's a region that's just beautiful, and how'd you find it up there?
Mate, we absolutely loved it. So we're up there for work, scouting some new locations for our investors. And look, I mean, the data for Townsville looks fantastic in terms of government spending, private spending, infrastructure, population growth and amenities and what Townsville offers. And we're up there just doing some boots on the ground stuff, inspecting properties, speaking to local agents, speaking to local professionals to try and understand more. But I've got to say, first time to Townsville, I was actually blown away by how good it was up there. What a city. Like it was buzzing, people everywhere. We went out for dinner Wednesday night and Thursday night. We had to wait 40 minutes on both occasions to get a table, which is quite incredible. You know, cafes were full, people out and about, super clean, the environment there in terms of, you know, the streets and whatnot. Yeah, we just loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it.
And I think the view out to Magnetic Island is one of the world's best. It ticks a lot of boxes for an investor.
Yeah, it does, mate. It really does. And I just think, the city had a bit of a vibe about it. And the new stadium is incredible. And obviously that'll attract some international guests, you know, even not just sporting, but you know, they can have, you know, big performances there, and literally the stadium's right bang smack in the middle of the city, which is unreal.
Yeah, probably about a decade ago we looked at Townsville and we didn't end up investing there, but it's a massive economy. What were the local agents saying about their vision for the future and where they think it'll go?
Yeah, look, they're really excited about where it is, you know, what's installed for Townsville. Just in terms of house prices, very affordable. Like we're talking somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 for, you know, your standard four bed, two bath, two car on a decent sized block. And I think because of the floods in the past, it has been a bit of hasn't been always the most desirable location for investors. So if you are looking to buy up there, really do your due diligence, like really understand the flood mapping and the implications for that. But look, I've got to say the agents in the area are very, very excited. They're starting to feel that there's a bit of momentum building, especially on the back of the 2019 floods. Last year, multiple suburbs had double-digit growth, and the last quarter, you know, that the indications were still really strong that they're going to have a strong back end of 2022.
Yeah, Sharpie, is there some suburbs that you really loved?
Yeah, there's probably three that we really liked. So there was Mount Louisa, Douglas, and also parts of Kerwin as well. So there's probably three there, but there are also some others that we're still just working through at the moment, you know, going through our notes and obviously comparing it to what we're seeing in terms of data as well.
Well, great update about Townsville. And I also find that, you know, it doesn't rely on just one industry. Like it's a really diverse economy up there. But let's get cracking on episode 4 of the dining room table. What's on the agenda?
So we're going to talk about where your deposit comes from. Okay. So it can come from two places, really. It can come from cash or equity. So we're just going to dive into that in a little bit more detail.
All right. What have you got?
The first one's the obvious one. So it can come from cash. So typically that can be saved or it can be some kind of inheritance. Generally speaking, if you want to buy an investment property, you're going to need 10% saved of the purchase price plus costs on top of that. Okay. So let's just call it a $500,000 investment property. In most cases, you're going to need around $50,000 saved. You'll need additional funds for stamp duty and legals and whatnot. So that could equate to somewhere between sort of $65,000 to $70,000 saved. I think that's a great way to start in terms of obviously getting your foot on the ladder. And unfortunately, it's in most cases what you have to do, right? You need to save the money, or you get, if you're lucky enough, you get an inheritance. Even once you bought the property, you're also going to have to manage your money well, you know, to account for any sort of maintenance items and bills, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so that 50,000 or 60 or 70, Are you seeing most of your clients, they're tapping into equity?
Mm.
What's the main scenario?
Yeah, so look, if you're if you don't own a property, or if you own a property that hasn't performed well, you're going to be required to save some cash, okay? That's just the fact, and it's the only way you're going to get the foot on the ladder. The other way where, you know, you have the ability to sort of invest would be releasing equity out of a property that you previously owned. So I can dive into basically more about what equity means, and obviously maybe come up with a couple of scenarios as well.
You got a full cap page full of notes there. What's next?
All right. So look, home equity is the market value of a homeowner's unencumbered interest in their real property. That is the difference between the home's fair market value and the outstanding balance of all loans on the property. Okay. So that's basically that. You know, that's the definition of what it is. So put simply, if your property has increased in value, you may have usable equity from that property to put towards an investment property, i.e. use that additional uplift as a deposit, okay? So the bank will typically lend you around 80% of your property's value, right? So for example, let's say you purchase a property for $600,000. Let's assume that that property has increased in value and you have been able to pay down some of your loan, and maybe your loan balance is around $400,000 and your property value has gone up to say $800,000. Okay, so your market value of your property is now $800,000. The amount of money that you owe the bank is now $400,000. Now I'm just using really round figures here. Now that would lend you a loan to value ratio of 50%, okay? So let's assume you wanted to buy an investment property. The bank is prepared to lend you up to 80% of your property's value, so which is $800,000, which would mean the bank is prepared to lend you up to $640,000, okay? Less the $400,000 that you still owe, that leaves you with $240,000 of usable equity that you could then use as a deposit to roll into your next investment property.
Yeah, beautiful. It all makes sense. Our first three episodes, we spoke about the investor profile. Episode two, we spoke about the dream team. Episode three, we spoke about saving for the deposit faster. So now we're really starting to put everything into place in terms of finance and equity. So what happens next, Sharpie?
Yeah, so using this method, releasing equity, this would mean that you wouldn't essentially have to dip into any of your savings of money, okay? So I know we've spoken about how important it is to save money and have good money habits. Using equity would mean that you can hold on to your savings and your cash, and you can actually borrow funds from the bank to buy another investment property.
It's probably a situation where there's almost not enough education about what people can do with their equity. Mm. If I brought up my sister, for example, you know, they've got a fantastic situation to invest, but for the last couple of decades, they haven't. They're sitting on a gold mine of equity.
Mm. Look, it's a very common story. And you do hear some professionals now call it lazy equity. So you're sitting on some equity that you haven't decided to use or put to work for you. But look, in most cases, if you've owned a property for the last 5 to 10 years and you've been paying down your debt, and it's in a, I guess it's in a strong location in terms of, you know, economy, so a good quality regional location or close to a CBD, your property's gone up in value, and more than likely you'd have some usable equity there. And it's just about, I guess, you know, going back to episode one or two when we spoke, it's about having that mindset and that appetite to do something, you know, with your equity and with the opportunities that you may have.
Yeah, okay, so like my sister who's on the Gold Coast, and I've said to her, I said, you could be an investor. You could have two or three investment properties with the amount of equity that you've got in your home. Depends on the risk profile. How do you find out more about what type of equity you've got?
Yeah, well, it's something that you can just do at home, really. It's a basic exercise. What I would suggest is work out what your loan balance is. So in our example, it was $400,000. And then find out roughly what your property's values were. So a good way to do that is to understand what properties have sold for in close proximity to your own. So jump in realestate.com or domain, find out what's sold, and just do a bit of a round figure as to, you know, how, you know, what the value of your property's worth and how it stacks up to a couple of others that may have sold within your area. And that will give you a good understanding of as to what your property's worth. So what you need to do is subtract the value of the loan amount that you have against the market value of your property, and that'll give you a rough usable equity.
Yeah, not sure if you'll be able to answer this, but what's the average taxable income for one of your investors?
Good question. But we help we help anyone from, you know, mums and dads to labourers to nurses to teachers, all the way up to high income earners. So it really just, it really depends. And I don't think that your income should limit you too much in, you know, in investing. I think that there are savvy ways and there are smart ways that you can obviously explore in order to, you know, to put your money to work for you.
Maybe it depends on what kind of occupation you've got. If you've got a full-time occupation where there's no risk, or if you're in my scenario where you might have, you know, six or seven jobs, then I think the first question that your broker's asking is, what's your taxable income?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly is. And obviously, you know, your broker after this is the next step you need to be chatting with to say, okay, hey, here are some figures. I've heard about this equity thing. Can we, you know, sharpen the pencil a little bit more and find out, you know, whether I'm in a position to do something or not?
Yeah, great stuff, Sharpie. And episode 5, I'm really looking forward to this one. So, okay, you're on a savings plan, you're getting close, you've got heaps of equity in your home, either going to go down one or two roads. And then episode 5, we're going to start to look at what type of property.
Yeah, we're going to look at what type of properties and why, and also we'll dive into locations as well and why. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, beautiful job, mate. So that is Dining Room Table, episode 4. Done and dusted. Well done, mate.
Thanks very much, mate. Looking forward to catching up again.